Radio Elton John dot world. This is Saturday Night's All Right for podcasting from Radio Elton John for Elton John World. I'm your host, George Matlock. Tonight we have a double take, deja vu if you like. What if I was to tell you that Elton has worked with two producers who share the same name? And we sadly have lost both of them. Following our recent All Saints Day episode, you may recall that we managed to pay tribute to so many people that Elton has worked with who sadly are no longer with us. One of them was Steve Brown. Now, we managed to connect with tonight's guest to tell Elton fans about her amazing husband, Steve Brown. It is our absolute sheer and delight to tell you we have today with us Jackie Brown. All right, settle down. That's enough. I'm paying you too much. Okay, that's enough. All right, okay, fabulous. We have Jackie Brown. Jackie, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me onto your show.
It's an absolute delight and honour, and thank you for being available at such short notice as well. I really, really do appreciate it. Now, Jackie, as I was saying there earlier, you know, Steve Brown, I know, has worked with many musical luminaries, including Elton, but he's also worked with George Michael, Wham, and many others. Can you remind us of some of those names?
So Steve also worked with a band called The Cult, and he did a record called, well, it's a love album, and the most famous track is She Sells Sanctuary, that is many a person's favourite rock anthem.
Yeah.
He worked with the Manic Street Preachers and did a double album called Generation Terrorist with Motorcycle Emptiness on, which is a really standout track. Alison Moyet, he did a track called Love Letters with her.
Oh, that's a beautiful one from Alf. Beautiful, beautiful song.
It's beautiful. Her voice is amazing. Yeah. So that was as a record producer. Before that, he was a recording engineer. And as a recording engineer, he did three or four Boomtown Rats albums. He did things as diverse as Peters and Lee back in the 70s to he worked with Roy Wood and engineered a few of his tracks. That's when he was a house engineer, so he got to work with Status Quo, Thin Lizzy, as a recording engineer. And then he got the chance to produce, and his first production was with ABC, a track called Tears Are Not Enough.
Wow.
And that was ABC's first hit. And then, as what often happens with bands, and someone like Trevor Horn steps in and goes, oh, I want to do that band. And then, but it was still a great opportunity. And when George Michael heard that track, Tears Are Not Enough, then he asked Steve to produce the first Wham album, which was called Fantastic. And when we first met George and Andrew, they were practically just left school. I think George was working part-time as a cinema usher. And we had the original demos. We had, I believe, on there was Careless Whisper, and then which was going to be a Wham track, but George went on to save that as a solo record, which was the best decision because it was a perfect track for him to sing without Wham. It wasn't really a Wham style track. So I've still got things like the original demos, which I keep safely somewhere on a cassette. I'm not sure if I've got anything to play cassettes on these days.
It's
kind of a little, yeah, a little bit of interesting history. So, and George, oh my God, what a lovely, lovely boy he was. And a lovely man. So that was Steve's first really, really big album as a producer.
Oh, amazing.
Wham. Yeah, and lovely to work for. And Steve put together the band, and George was, you know, fairly inexperienced, but so knew what he was doing and the direction he wanted to go in. You know, he was funny, witty, you know, very self-deprecating kind of a guy. He was really, really sweet. Got to hang out with his family quite a bit, met his sisters. One has sadly died, but still in touch with his elder sister, and get invited every year to commemorate George's life and Melanie's life, his sister that also sadly died. Really lovely family. So lucky to have experienced meeting people like that through the music business. It's Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. I mean, sadly, Steve's no longer here, but the period of time that, you know, we were married for sort of nearly 40 years, so I got to hang out with lots of interesting people and spend a lot of time in studios. And if anybody knows what producers do, they spend a lot of time in studios. So, you know, for he would work really when he was on doing an album, you know, from 12 in the morning till 1, 2 in the morning, and, you know, have a few hours sleep and get up and repeat. And again, those of you that worked in studios, everyone knows, you know, how long it takes to put tracks down and, you know, to get to the final album. You know, it's a lot of very, very hard work that goes into it.
Absolutely. So, and you were there throughout with him with sort of matchsticks to support your eyelids through the night.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodness me.
I've definitely hung up, but then, you know, after a while, the charm wears off sitting back in the studio, you know, listening, you know, take 23, you know. So, it's a little bit samey.
It would have been a breeze working with Elton then, because back in those days, certainly in the 70s at least, he often just did things in one take. They were literally put down in one go.
Yeah, I think so. Now, I have to make it really clear how Steve met Elton John. So, there, as you said, two Steve Browns. And Steve Brown that I was married to didn't work musically with him. Mm. The other Steve Brown was slightly more famous in those days. Although I think sometimes the confusion over the names, maybe my Steve, to accidentally get some extra work on the back of being called Steve Brown. However, my Steve would have met Elton around about 72, 73. And he lived in Egham. And John Reed and Elton John used to fill up their swanky Rolls Royce car. In the days where people filled your car up, my Steve was working as a part-time job. He'd left school or probably been asked to leave school. He was working in the petrol station. Elton John would come in a couple of times, I don't know, a week or every now and again. And my Steve went to Elton. He said, Elton, I manage a band. And Elton must have gone, oh, that's interesting, you know. And Elton John was, you know, pretty famous then, and you know, his manager, John Reed. And Steve said, you know, yeah, I manage the school band, and, you know, they're playing at some... they're playing at the local arts festival or something. And I think Elton must have said something, well, you know, if you want to get into the music business, you know, then we might be able to find something for you to do. And Steve went, yeah, I'll do anything. Obviously, I'll do anything just to, you know, go and work for Elton John, who, you know, a bit of a hero of his. And quite, this is coincidentally, and some of your listeners may have heard of Steve Lillywhite, who's quite a well-known record producer as well. He worked with U2 and the Stones. So Steve Lillywhite was in the band that Steve managed, and Steve Brown and Steve Lillywhite were best friends. He was the best man at our wedding, and vice versa when Steve married Kirsty MacColl. My Steve was the best man at their wedding.
Awesome.
So Steve managed, you know, this little school band. And anyway, on the back of that, Elton said, well, you know, we're looking for a roadie. How do you fancy, you know, being Nigel Olsen's drum roadie? And Steve went, I would love to do that.
Let's come back to that. There's some wonderful stories I know you've got lined up for us regarding Nigel. So we're going to come back to the Nigel Olsen connection. So I just want to go back to where you said Egham, because what you didn't know is I used to go to school round there. I went to Royal Holloway College. I did my degree there on Egham Hill.
Yeah, it's university.
Yeah. So my question to you about the filling station, the petrol station, is, was this the one that's at the bottom of Egham Hill?
It was one that was at the bottom, yes, at the bottom of Egham Hill. Because Elton was round there, wasn't he?
That's right. So, yes, indeed. You know, lives not far away. He lives in Windsor, of course.
Yeah. So, yes, in Windsor, yeah.
And what year was this? Do you know what year this was?
I would think it was 1972.
Yeah.
I think it'd be 72. Steve was 16 or 17.
Yeah. I think at that point, Elton was not living in Windsor. He bought his place, which he still has to this very day, in about 1976, I think. Somebody will complain if I get it wrong, but I think it was 1976. Yeah. Before that, he was living in Virginia Water,
Yes.
At a house. That's where he was living. Yeah. At a house that was called Hercules. And I had the pleasure many years ago of seeing this house just before the estate agents were going to sell it to the next bidder. So it was an incredible visit to see this place before whatever the next people did, because it was still in its original form.
It was
the
house in Virginia Water.
Virginia Water, which again is not far from Egham. All these places, all these beautiful places are all sort of close to each other. So Elton has never really moved very far from where he was. I mean, it's the whole thing, you know, Surrey and Berkshire, I mean, very much his counties.
It's lovely and it's convenient near the airport, near London. You know, sort of. And I guess driving in and out of London, they'd stop at the petrol station and Steve got chatting to them, and then, you know, kind of, as you say, the rest is history. I mean, you know, when, you know, Steve was looking after, you know, Nigel's drums, and Steve brought them home and cleaned them in his bedroom.
We're going to come back to all these wonderful stories. I know there's an outpouring of emotion going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Just in case you've just joined us, Jackie Brown is our special guest on Radio Elton John this month. And her husband was Steve Brown, not the Steve Brown that some of you know, but another Steve Brown who has an Elton John connection, and it's no small connection at that. So we're absolutely delighted that we have somebody on the show here who's absolutely not an imposter, has every right to be on this show because there's a fantastic story to tell. But before we go further, I will come back to all of this in just a moment. But I think first of all, let's jump over to a song that we've got lined up. So I'm just going to play you a song from the Reg tribute band Pinner. Now, their latest offering is called Ode to an Elton John Fan.
In a quiet corner of a crowded room, they play tiny dancers, softly chasing bloom with every note and every word. A piece of their heart is stirred. Leather boots, glittering suits, a flamboyant dream that resonates from Rocket Man to Candle in the Wind. Their love for Elton never abates. They're dancing alone.
Thank you. All right, fantastic stuff there, ladies and gentlemen. That's Pinner and Ode to an Elton John Fan. And what did you think of that? Would you see that on your turntable?
I think I could. The words were clever and interesting. So fabulous. Along with the story, yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm going to slate them, of course. After building them up, I cut them down to size. I said, I listen to these 20-something-year-olds. I mean, I'm all for it. And I think it's great that they do the songs that they do. But to me, it sounds, you know, a little bit like a Swedish Eurovision Song Contest entry. You know, I can see this being, which is actually supposed to be actually a compliment, because let's face it, a lot of these songs have won it for Sweden. Exactly.
Yeah, they've
won. Okay, well, welcome back. We've got Jackie Brown here on Radio Elton John on Saturday nights, all right, for podcasting. And we are talking about Steve Brown, her dear husband. And I've got to ask you as well, so you say, I think you said earlier that he was, he saw a sort of Elton as a bit of a hero of his. So would you say he was an Elton fan himself?
Yeah, definitely. He'd been to see Elton live before he worked for him. Yeah, I think he, you know, he had the platform boots and, you know, the sort of Elton John, you know. I sadly didn't keep them because they would have been, you know, quite a sort of piece of work. But, you know, those platform boots that Elton used to wear.
Hey, listen up. Here's what we just discovered.
Platinum Access from Radio Elton John offers you 40 exclusive episodes.
Access to future episodes.
First 20 editions with enhanced audio plus transcripts.
Loyalty gift after 2 years subscription.
And the best bit?
Just $1.99 per month.
Why settle for silver when you can have platinum?
Get it now from RadioEltonJohn.world.